Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
What is going on? That's a question. I think that's a question when we like watch the news. We talk about what is going on.
Why are we dealing with
this situation? Why are we dealing with all these situations? Why is it down to us to deal with all of this emotionally? It's unbelievable, Chris. It really is. It's unbelievable. I want to go back on holiday.
You're just bitter because Prime is selling. And KSI and Logan Paul rolling in a bucket
Prime,
of money.
Bloody Prime. If I had a sort of energy drink that I was going to sell, it would be gravy flavoured.
Oh.
Delicious. Or what do I like?
Gravy.
Avocados. It would taste of avocados. And people would be like, this is disgusting. I'd go, yeah, but it's good for you. So shut up and drink it.
I love a bit of avocado. Put some paprika on it and it tastes like butter. It's fucking good. I love it.
Butter.
It's good. Right? I'm worried, Pete. I think... I know it's been all the thing recently, AI, artificial intelligence, but I'm worried now. I do think... Have you been playing with chat GPT as much as I have?
We had a little sort of live fiddle on the Abroad Japan podcast, and you've kind of picked up the slack a little bit. You've been enjoying... dicking about with it recently online, and how have you found it?
I'm scared.
Is it upsetting?
Well,
I'm scared.
You can prompt it with anything, and it knows what you're talking about. Not once over the many hours have I used it has it like just gone, oh, I don't know what that is. It knows every time, and that is something I thought we were still a few years away from. But like, you could do anything. The other day I was with Charla watching her eat a hot dog, and I said to ChatGPT, make a rap about Charla licking hot dogs. And in one under a second, literally a second, it wrote a rap. And I will read that to you now. It begins. It's pretty bad. Caveat is, yo, it's Sharla in Japan with a hot dog in hand, licking it up with a flavour so grand. From Shibuya to Harajuku, she's on a quest to find the hot dog that'll pass the test. She's got... Fucking hell. She's got her ketchup, her mustard too, and when she licks it up, it's like a dream come true.
To be fair, that sounds just like her.
The way she chomps down with her mouth so wide makes us all want to bite and join the hot dog ride. She's explored the city from north to south, and when she finds a good hot dog, she don't shut her mouth. She shares it with us through her vlogs and posts, and when she licks it up, she loves it the most. So let's give it up for Sharla in Japan, the hot dog queen with a love will never end. She's licking it up with all her might, and we want to all be like her on a hot dog night.
Hey, you know what? I was so not into that rap until the description of it being a hot dog night. Enjoyable, just enjoyable.
I just love that the first line. Yo, it's Sharla in Japan with a hot dog in hand, licking it up with a flavour so grand. It's like, that's actually quite good. That rhymes with
it. It is quite good. And we've got I got our analyst to do a little bit of chat GPT about the Football Ramble. And it was a similar kind of vibe, to be honest. It's a similar kind of... It sounds good, but it doesn't sound like us. It doesn't sound like the lads and lasses from the Ramble, really.
It will do.
It's just a generic rap, really.
But it will be coming for you. It is going to take over. It will take over.
Of course it will.
In 2 years, and there'll be no... It might be good for you, though. You can just hit a button and be like, make a Football Ramble about Leicester City losing. And then it'll be like, yeah. I'm done. No problem.
I mean, some weeks when you're watching some pretty turgid football, you're like, yeah, I wouldn't rather do that, to be quite
You'll be in Barbados.
Yeah, I mean...
Splashing about.
I can't really sort of tell that, like, people who are kind of blissfully unaware of you know, what AI represents and stuff, like, they... I mean, ChatGPT, as they say, is just a really decent sort of autocomplete, isn't it? It's just autocomplete.
To some extent, yeah.
I think almost we might have the longest rope out of everyone. You know what I mean? Like, there are things that ChatGPT can do. There's things that AI can do, and it's almost unbelievably soulless in every single application of that art, of that digital art. And we may out of all of the industries, we might be all right for the longest time, but eventually it will take over and we'll be fucked. But if I was working with data, if I was working as a programmer, I'd be a little concerned about how this, because big business do not give a shit about anything, really, and they just want to make the most amount of money quickly. So yeah, we're fucked, baby.
I think programmers could be in trouble when, you know, you can get it to like program a website or even like industries you wouldn't necessarily think, like a model, right? A model for like a clothing company. You could be like, I want a model in this clothing looking like this with this angle, and it could make the photo, right? In the same way it generates artwork. So it's not just like funny rap songs. And like lawyers, what if you have a lawyer? A good lawyer is someone who knows the text and is able to go through it. An AI trained on thousands of documents, thousands of legal texts, can do it in seconds, the same thing, right? And find a loophole and a way around it. So yeah, it's pretty scary. But to cheer you up is another thing I did with it. I said, write a letter asking my girlfriend to marry me using only spaghetti metaphors. And it did that in like a trillionth of a second. It says, dear girlfriend, you are the meatball to my spaghetti, the marinara to my sauce, the parmesan to my cheese, the noodle to my pasta dish. You are the perfect complement to my life, and I can't imagine a day without you. Just as a spaghetti dish needs all its ingredients to come together, I need you in my life to make it complete. You bring flavour, texture and richness to everything we do together, and I'm grateful for every moment we've shared. So, my love, I ask you, will you be my pasta partner for life? Not so sure about that line. Will you marry me and join me on this delicious journey together? Yours truly, weird, creepy boyfriend. It's just so good. It's just insane how you can like just steer it in different directions.
It's just insane.
Yeah. We're done.
It's magic.
Game over.
It's magic AI.
I went for dinner at a Kaiten Sushi restaurant with the great Tom Scott the other day. YouTuber who makes a video every Monday, and he hasn't missed one for like 10 years now. How the bloody hell does he do that? But great guy, and he had a video come out just 2 weeks ago talking about how he's scared of AI, which did very well. And I think we sort of concluded over dinner that we're buggered. I'm more worried about like general AI intelligence having access to everything, because at the moment it's quite narrow. That it's narrow AI that trains on one thing, right? But when it can all, there's one AI that can do everything, the Swiss Army knife of AI, and it can learn at an exponential rate, then we're buggered. And I remember reading that this is supposed to be called the singularity, when the AI becomes conscious or aware or whatever. And apparently it's about 50 to 60 years away, so we might get to miss it, hopefully.
We might be dead by then. I think with I think when you saw is it Bing? Bing AI used. I think it was using ChatGPT as its thing to answer, and it just suddenly got very upset and very defensive and started lashing out at users.
Like, I'm going to destroy everyone. I saw it say or something.
I'm sick of everything.
It's a bit worrying. I don't know. I just feel like it's going to be at a point in a year or so where things exponentially improve upon themselves, right? To the point that humans suddenly don't know how it's creating these solutions to the problems, right? How it's getting around it. And then even the smartest humans and the smartest programmers won't know what the fuck is going on. And it's at that point that we're buggered. I don't know. It's made me feel really weirdly pessimistic recently. And a little bit afraid in a way that I never thought I would. I don't know. I didn't think we would have to worry about this for 20, 30 years. Hopefully it'll be good first and it'll be great. And then,
I can't wait. I'm just going to feed all of your videos into an AI. And go, there you go.
I'm in this weird position where there are 250 videos of me online, and AI could just scan it all and become me. In seconds, in like 5 years' time.
How many episodes of this? Of the Bronze Man podcast?
Oh yeah, feed it in 500 episodes of the podcast. And it can emulate our voices. There's already editing software called Descript, which is ahead of its time, where you edit the video through a transcript, right? And this is really spooky stuff. So I would feed in a video, like Chris and Pete go to Kyoto to the monkey park. Yeah. I'll put that in, and it will translate it and create a transcript. And you edit the video rather than on a timeline or using, the old ways on Premiere Pro or Final Cut. You edit the text itself.
Right.
So I could cut out a word like, are you going, oh, I love big monkeys. I could cut out the word big, and it would go, oh, I love monkeys, and it would do that. Or this is the bit where it's mental. You can train it on the voice of the person. And I could delete the word big, and I could type in like red, and then it would take your voice, it would create your voice and turn it into that. So it'd be like, oh, I love red monkeys. And to the untrained ear, you wouldn't know that was artificially generated audio. And for one word, it's fine.
You can hear, I think Adobe had an AI assisted audio helper, little kind of like app package sort of thing. You could basically have it restore audio that was incredibly distorted or incredibly in non-optimal situations, like with a lot of wind, a lot of distortion, a lot of like clanking and stuff, like and it removes all of it. But all it's really doing is just kind of recreating your voice, training itself on your voice, and recreating the words digitally. You're starting to hear it quite a lot on radio and stuff, where someone's recorded something out in the field, and they've basically fed it into this little kind of app and spat it out. So it sounds like you're in like a studio, but like all of the atmosphere's gone. It just sounds so digital, clangy. So it's all right for a couple of words, like you say, the descriptor modules. But when it's like 5 minutes of audio, you're like, this is fucking unspeakably great. There's something very digital and very weird about it. So yeah,
it's not there yet, but it will be. It will get there, and then we're done. Or it could be good, because we could just be like, make a podcast about love hotels with Pete and I in a funny voice with spaghetti metaphors, and hit a button, and it's like processing. 3 seconds later, you got a 40-minute podcast that's probably better than me, because unlike me, where I'm tired or sleepy or rubbish, as I am every other week,
too much chicken, the
AI could make me
the
good.
AI.
Yeah.
The AI doesn't eat chicken. Don't
exactly.
you worry about that.
Exactly. Well, there you go. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but I don't know. I don't think I am. I said, after speaking to Tom Scott about it and PewDiePie, where, you know, I did a little road trip with PewDiePie through Yamagata the other day, and he got really, he was really into it. He's really like, this is going to change the game. And he'd been using it. The most useful thing he'd used it for was ChatGPT. He would ask it to explain Japanese to him. And it is really good in a way that I've not seen before.
Right.
I did talk about this in a previous episode with Charlotte, but like I gave an example. I've always wondered, the Japanese word kikake means reason, right? In the dictionary, it just means like reason for something. But also the Japanese word for reason is ryu, right? Ryu. And I was like, ChatGPT, what's the difference between the two? And it gave me a very clear answer in how they're used. And then I could be like, okay, give me 10 examples. And it generated 10 examples that were very good. So, yeah, he's been using it in that way, which I think is really smart. But
that's amazing.
You can use it for anything. It's brilliant. Anyway, enough about AI and how it's going to take over. What's going on in Japan this week? I hear there's some magic sauce that everyone's raging about. Some magic powder.
Don Quixote has released a new magic powder. Not the sort that WWE wrestlers took in the 90s. We are very much talking about Don Quixote's supermarket brand. They've basically created a brand new magic powder. It's called Premium Magic Powder. It's magic powder that will make instant ramen taste amazing. The powder is made up of mostly seafood-based ingredients like fly fish powder and clam extract. You mix 3 teaspoons of the powder into instant ramen to make it taste even more delicious. And it's just great powder. It's just great powder, guys.
Why is it so good?
I don't know. People are just raving about this magic powder, and it's just, and you can just make any kind of soup with it if you want. It's like umami in liquid form, as they describe it. But the magic, it's just magic powder. You put it in ramen, and it makes it taste 10 times more delicious.
Dear, dear. A slow news week.
That's all
in Japan. There's some powder, and you put it on the needles, and it tastes good because it's basically just a bag of salt and mushrooms. Delicious. Dear. I haven't had instant ramen in a while. I haven't had ramen in a while, actually. I feel like, I tell a lie, I did have it 2 weeks ago. I always do this. I haven't had McDonald's in a while, apart from last Thursday and the week before.
And, then as you wipe your mouth of tomato sauce.
As I wipe the Ronald McDonald's milkshake away. No, I did have some ramen in Kyoto, and fuck me, it was good, but man, do I feel guilty afterwards. I just feel really puffy. My face feels really puffy.
Puffy?
And all the salt. It's all the salt. My face just gets like blown up from all the salt in the ramen. Do you not have that? Is it just me?
Not really, no. Because, I mean, I've been eating salt for longer than you have, so, you know, I'm a big salt monster, me.
So it's a real one-man-up-ship. One-man-up-ship there, like, eating the salt longer than me. Yeah, you can get good ramen in London now, though, right? There's an Ippudo, I think. Have you been to the Ippudo in London?
I went to one in New York a little while ago, and it was delicious. So yeah, big fan of Ippudo. Just great stuff, great vibes.
I was really happy actually. Recently, there's like a ramen award every year that determines which prefecture in Japan they enjoy the most ramen or eat the most ramen, and Yamagata came number one. Which I was really happy about.
Oh,
the backwater prefecture that nobody knows about is won something for once, and that has made me very happy. And it is some of the best ramen I've ever had. They've got a lot of good soy sauce ramen based broth, and they have a nice infusion of seafood, given it's near the coastline. But yeah, Yamagata, beautiful place.
Get yourself some of that magic powder though. When they're not looking, just pop it in your ramen. Delicious.
Plop the magic powder in. Why not? We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. Our first one is from Scott from Durham, who says, Dear Classic Scott. Chris and Perennial Pete, I've been a long-time listener of the podcast. Thank you, Scott. And I've been following from the very first episode. Jesus Christ, now you're making me feel old. That's 5 years now, isn't it? Thank you so much for sticking around. I'm looking to start my own podcast with a friend. You what? It better not be about Japan.
What?
No, not about Japan, though even if I was, it wouldn't be a speck on your impeccable work. Well, thank you very much, Scott. And we will kill anyone who wants to take our crown. We're wondering whether you script the podcast and what equipment would be best for a beginner, and whether you had any tips and advice for anyone just starting. Thank you very much. Keep up the great work. Best wishes, Scott from Durham. Well, thank you very much, Scott. So we don't script the podcast. We have like... we loosely script bits of it, like the news story and the questions, But I wouldn't really call that scripting. It's more like a prompt, isn't it? It's more just questions.
Yeah.
We just sort of make it up as we go. And
it's a little prompt.
And the, you know, the best podcast.
I would be annoyed if I'd written this absolute waffle.
Hello, everyone. It's Chris here from the Abroad in Japan podcasty.
Abroad in Japan.
I find some of the best Abroad in Japan podcasts, the ones where we have no plan or anything. You just talk about stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what you do on the Luke and Pete show, right? You just sit in a room and go, oh, look at that. And then talk about it.
Well, I mean, there's a little bit of craft there. I mean, yes, that is the case. Yes, correct.
What do you prompt? I want to know the secrets behind the Luke and Pete show.
We don't really have a running. We never have a running order. To be fair, we've got emails that come in. We've got a feature that we do batteries every Thursday. We get people sending batteries that they found in their remote controls and
fantastic
stuff.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. It's Luke Peach is one of those shows that I never necessarily think about until I'm doing it, and then I'm like, fucking hell, we've got quite a lot of listeners. It's just scary. Absolutely scary.
Power, your measure. I you have to be comfortable with speaking and not editing what you're saying. It took me years doing a podcast to get my head around that, because with videos you can edit it, and I do script them often when it's just me in the studio, but for the podcast you can't really do that, so you've got to be comfortable speaking and trying to be good at keeping things on point, but yeah, it's a whole different ball game, and I still feel like I'm not that good at it. I'm still making it up as I go along.
We'll get there, mate.
Teach me the secrets. And also, if you want a good microphone, the Shure SM7B is what I use. Pete uses some super duper fucking radio TV microphone for his voiceover work, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Everybody uses these Shure MV7s, and they are cracking for variable room resonance and echo and reverb, because they sound really thick. They've got an internalized pop shield, and they sort of filter out a lot of the echo, so you can't go wrong with them, really. They really are fantastic actually.
Like, I used to, when we first started the podcast, I used a different microphone, the Rode NT1A, I think, which I used for my voiceovers on my videos. But there was loads of echo. It picked up, like, echoing from the walls. And I would have to literally, I remember, in the early days of the podcast, I would basically have to sort of sit in a broom cupboard. And,
a cardboard box.
Well, yeah, like a broom cupboard with, like, pillows around me. And that's how I got through it. And it was nothing short of disaster. Come a long way since then. Just got a good microphone, and now there's no insulation required. So do that, and ye will be fine. We got a question over to you, Pete. What's going on?
Oh, well, I mean, we were talking about AI and ChatGPT and stuff. So while you've been talking to that person and giving out, dropping truth and advice bombs on them, I've been typing into ChatGPT, ask the Abroad in Japan podcast a question. And this is why... This is why ChatGPT right now, it's just kind of a bit meh, because this is what came out.
Right.
What inspired you to move to Japan and start the Abroad in Japan podcast? And what has been the most rewarding aspect of creating content about your experiences in Japan? What's been the most rewarding aspect of creating content? It is very generic, and I did it again. I regenerated the response. What has been the most unexpected cultural experience you've had during your time living in Japan, and how did it change your perspective on the country? I mean, it's... I think the people who have to be worried about this is the people who just write boilerplate twaddle.
Yeah.
Like, who just turn out the Daily Mail sidebar of shame, just getting text up there for the sake of it looking like an article. Just really that. I've typed in ask Radio DJ Pete Donaldson a question, because, they're not going to find me otherwise. What inspired you to pursue a career in radio? I mean... like, there's no research there, is there? That I was a radio DJ. You've decided to just ask me, why did you become a radio DJ? Jesus Christ. Christ, guys.
AI becomes sentient. It's coming for you, Pete Donaldson. It'd be show you. You mocked me. pretty boring questions. I'm not going to answer it.
It is, yeah.
I don't know what's rewarding about doing it. What is rewarding about doing this?
What is rewarding?
I don't know. All right. The reward is I get to teach people about interesting things. And when I was a teacher, teaching 40 people in a room, that was all fun and games. But when you can teach tens of thousands of people, millions of people, that's a lot better.
And teach a man to fish.
Teach a man to fish. How to come to Japan.
Teach a man to fish.
And it'll be great. But, you know, also I'm sitting in my studio right now and it's still kind of crazy that all of this, the podcast, the videos, the everything has led to me sitting in a room, playing around with the camera, alone. It's great. It's quality. I'm so happy with
it's
that.
Good, isn't it?
I'm kind of like, it's going to be daunting moving it all to Tokyo in a few weeks' time. Fuck me, I'm not looking forward to that. Help me. Come over, Pete. Help me carry the boxes. That's what I need.
On the Shinkansen.
Yeah.
Just driving one of those little Isuzu vans and stuff. I'm excited, man. How is the move going to sort of work? I know you spoke about it, but how's the move like functionally going to work with your studio and stuff?
I don't know. It's going to be a nightmare. Basically, the team that built it, right, we've got to pay them money to dismantle it, rebuild it. Extend it. Like, have you got any ideas on what we can do with it? I did put this out to the podcast the other day. That hasn't come out yet. A hot tub. Brilliant. A hot tub. I mean...
Nice hot tub.
No. When you've got like thousands of dollars worth of electronics lying around and lights, I sense a hot tub could lead to some very worrying
Just have one of those stupid bars that has a monkey or a penguin or something.
Open a penguin bar. I want to do something more cyberpunky. Cyberpunk. What about a retro game arcade built onto the studio with some arcade machines? Would you be happy with that?
I could wire up some buttons.
You are not coming anywhere near wiring up my studio. You bastard.
I could wire up some buttons.
With your automatons and all sorts. Terrible idea.
Yeah, you just need some more automatons. A big wall of automatons. God. Everyone's invested. Look, the fucking arse has fallen out of the Funko Pop market. They've massively over-speculated to accumulate, and so now they're all going to the landfill. It's cheaper than selling them. They're throwing them all in the bin, which is exactly where they belong. Automatons are the next Funko Pops. Mark my words.
We'll see about that. We'll see. But I don't know. Yeah, so we've still got to find a studio and an apartment down in Tokyo. Got to find them.
Oh, lordy.
Then we got to move it all. And
let me guess, it's going to be more expensive than Sendai.
Oh, God, yeah. It's going to be way more expensive. So the pressure's on to be better, make more videos. Mm. And, got to try and think of how to pay for it all. Got to start a cameo like Natsuki, sending messages to people. I don't know. I'll have to do something, though. Honestly, it's a daunting thing. But, I love... What annoys me is I love this studio and I like my life in Sendai. And it feels like I don't really want to move in many ways, but I feel like I have to. And I think that's...
More of a vibe, though, isn't it? More of a vibe in Tokyo. There'll
it's more of a vibe.
More people, more opportunities, you know.
For sure. But, like, having lived here in Tohoku for 10 years... You know, it's sad. Yeah. It's the end of an era, leaving Tohoku behind. Obviously, I'll be coming back. It's not that far away. But, yeah, it's a big deal to leave here. I've lived like a third of my life here. That's a terrifying fucking thought. A third of my life here in North Japan. And, but Tokyo will be good. I'm sure it'll be good. And the sad truth about having the studio here is I don't get to show it to people because they don't get to come up here as much. Whether that's Ludwig or Tom Scott recently, we hung out, but there wasn't time for them to get up to Sendai, unfortunately. So it'll be good. It'll be good. And hopefully we'll get to use the studio more as well and actually make good use of it. We've got one last question here from Clement from Slovenia. He says, "Hello, culprit Chris and prankster Pete. I've been to Japan in 2018 for 6 weeks, travelling through bits of Honshu and Kyushu. And this year, I tried to persuade my girlfriend to go to Japan with me. She didn't like the idea at first because she doesn't like big cities and crowds, but then her friend showed her photos of Hokkaido and she changed her mind under condition that we visit beautiful nature spots in Japan as well as the cities. Now, I haven't been to Tohoku and Hokkaido, and watching your videos, I know that you are an expert in those areas. Why, thank you. What good nature spots can you recommend for us in Tohoku and Hokkaido that are accessible by train and buses? We don't want to rent a car, but we'll probably have a JR rail pass. All the best, guys. Clement from Slovenia." Nature spots in Hokkaido and Tohoku. I think you should go to Yamadera Temple. Go there and...
What's that
Yamadera
like?
It's good, isn't it? It's a temple on a mountainside. A temple on a mountainside overlooking Yamagata's mountains. You can get there easily by train from Sendai. Go to... Oh, it's difficult though. Tohoku's a little bit tricky with trains. There are lots of trains, but it does make things a lot more complex. Go to Matsushima Bay. Go to the Noboribetsu.
Farthest.
Noboribetsu Hot Springs in town. Hokkaido. I don't know.
Right.
Do you know anywhere?
That's nice.
You're good. Do you know somewhere?
No, what don't do you know? You're good. I don't think I do, actually.
Rubbish.
What's the area again?
Tohoku and Hokkaido. And you're well acquainted with both.
I mean, I've been around the place, but it very much like... my dream is to sort of just get in a car and have a drive around rather than have to deal with loads of trains and stuff.
Yeah, no,
I think that would be really cool. So, yeah, that one day I'll do that.
There is a really nice train up the west coast of Japan, which I've never really recommended before, that goes from Niigata. So you get the bullet train to Niigata, and then you hop on the local train that goes from Niigata up to Aomori City. And that's a nice big journey up the west coast side. And the west side of Japan, really beautiful. Lots of volcanoes and mountains and sleepy fishing towns. It is one of my favourite places, actually, in Japan, especially in summer, with the hot, humid summer breeze blowing across the Sea of Japan. It's a lovely place to be. And that would be good. I recommend doing that. And you could stop off along the way at places like Tsuruoka, which is near where I'm used to near it. Near where I used to live, and go to Mount Haguro, the temple and the pagoda there. I'd go up the west coast. Start in Niigata, get some sake vending machines, hop on the train, go up to Sakata, get your hair cut at Natsuki's hair salon, and ride it up to Aomori City and eat some apples and have some cider. Because that is what Aomori City is famous for. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.